PodNuts wants to thank everyone who supports the network by going to www.podnuts.com/Amazon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Geeksters episode 159. This is a show where we talk about all things computers. If it's got a computer in it, we're going to talk about it at some point, from cell phones to tablets, from laptops to desktops. We've even talked about car computers. I'm Martin Obando, one of the hosts here of Geeksters. But before we get to introducing two of my compadres of compassion, I'm going to give a shout out to one of our sponsors for the PodNuts. It's Repair Tech Solutions. They've got a product out there called Tech Suite. It's the ultimate computer repair toolkit. It's a comprehensive repair toolkit that allows you to automate and streamline your repair process so you can stay focused on growing your business. Now, what do you say? What does this thing do? It will get you organized. It's going to update your business. It's going to decrease your turnaround time, track your repairs, automation, reporting, branding, custom configurations, integration. That's right. If you have a CRM or an RMM, they've got integrations for Repair Shop, Help Desk, Auto Task, and a whole bunch more. It looks like there's quite a bit of people out there who use this. So if you want to check it out some more, go to podnuts.com, very top banner. There's a button there for Repair Tech. Check it out. Now for my compadres of compassion, Tim Bauermeister and Mitch Heyman. Hey guys, how's it going?
Hello.
It's going well. Man, good. It's like weird. It's like Geekster Roulette here. We never know what day we're going to do it.
We never know.
No, we don't.
Well, it's today, apparently.
It's Friday? Oh, it is Friday, isn't it?
Today's the day we're doing it. It's Friday to us. I don't know. I guess if you're doing the podcast thing, it's whatever day it is. It's whatever your day is. So it doesn't really matter. I shouldn't even brought it up.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I should get a die that just has Monday through Sunday on it, and we'll just roll it and say the Geeksters for the week is.
That would be a 7-sided die.
Well, maybe we'll go with 12, and then we'll just take some of them and we'll just, you know, put question marks on it. We'll have like Mitch decide, Tim decide, Door decide.
Oh, I see. Yeah, wild cards. Yeah.
We'll have some wild card. I think that's gonna do that. So if anybody out there is a designer. Awesome. Maybe you got a 3D printer just hanging around you want to do something with. We'd like a 12-sided die with the days of the week on it and then some wild cards.
You know somebody's going to send us something like that. Watch.
If somebody says us something like that, we will use it. And I will weight it down so it's always on Friday or Wednesday or Saturday. I don't know. It'd be my choice.
Can we get two? And then we can have like lick and ear or...
Wrong show.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Different.
Sorry, that's, yeah.
That's Saturday show.
You know
show.
What, that's actually like, that reminds me of something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but who had the repair dice? I know who it was. It was the Malayasi brothers. They're on Card Talk. They had some repair dice they would throw. And I think when they would get a call, and they were just completely stumped, which never happened. I mean, usually it was where the person was just giving answers, maybe not all correct, and so they would get led down the wrong path. And finally, it was just clear they weren't going to solve it with the information. They would just throw the dice, and they would explain the, you know, 50, and whatever it landed on. So maybe it was a $1,500 transmission job that would solve the person's problem. And that's what they would send them away with.
Constantly getting flat tires. Change out the transmission.
That's the way some shops work, and they don't even roll dice. So,
well, you know, honestly, that's the way. That's true. But honestly,
that reminds them of something.
It totally does. And this is what happened. So this week I had a client, and the problem was that her internet on her computer. So what was happening is she would be working on a web page, and then she would go away for, not even really go away, just maybe switch out, do something else. But 5 minutes later, she'd go back to another web page and she'd click on the, you know, a new tab, and page can't be displayed. She would go click on another bookmark, page can't be displayed. So she would shut her machine off. She would turn it back on and she would do the same thing. And she would work for a little bit and then page can't be displayed. She has a tablet in her home connected to the same wireless. Perfect. No problem. Mm. She would take her laptop to another wireless place. Like she actually took it to her father's house. Same exact problem. She would do either shut it down or have to do a system restore, and then it would go back. Mm. So I thought, well, let's update everything. So I brought it home. I did some cleanup, malware, you know, all that kind of stuff. This is a HP Pavilion G6. It's an AMD processor. It's not tie-in. It was a QVC purchase. But so 2 gigs of RAM, Windows 8.1, Trend Micro Antivirus. Yeah, I made sure that, you know, instantly the first thing I thought of, okay, Trend Micro, it also does web scanning. So I thought, okay, it's maybe Trend Micro is blocking web pages. Turned it off. Nope, same problem. Actually, so this would, I would go out and work with it for a little bit. It would work out fine. Great. Okay, I leave. I call, have to come back later on, either the same day or another day. Sure. Same problem. Took a little USB wireless adapter that I know works. Mm. Put it in there. Got it configured. Everything was working fine. I said, great. Let's disable yours. Let's enable this one. Everything worked. Later that night, problem. Take my laptop over there. No issues.
So you've isolated to the machine.
I have. Well, yeah, but then I was like, well, maybe it's the router. No, it can't be the router because the other thing's working. And then maybe it's just like, you know, I was constantly kind of feeling like I was second-guessing myself inside because I really didn't want to reload her laptop.
Real quick, what about hardwired Ethernet cable? What?
Same problem.
Okay, all right, all right.
So we kind of ruled it down to probably being the laptop. So 2 nights ago, I got the laptop.
Sticky one. I'm loving it. Did you boot a Linux Live Desk?
I did not boot a Linux.
Yeah, okay, Live. All right. I bet it would have worked fine, but that's just my guess. So anyway.
Well, I brought it home. So one of the first times I brought it back to my place, hooked up to my network, wired in, no problems.
Yeah.
At all. None. So I was able to finally get it. So I'm thinking, well, maybe it's something weird as a stuck DHCP lease or stuck DNS lease or something. You know, maybe it's DNS or DHCP. Get into her router. Change the IP address scope, and still doesn't work. So now her computer, instead of getting 1.6, is getting like 1.100. Still doesn't work. So
and you saw it do this. I mean, you would leave and it was working, and she would call and say it wasn't. But you went back and you would see it not working, right?
Or I would even be there, and within minutes, it would stop working. It would load a couple pages and then just stop. So I thought, well, maybe it's DNS. Maybe Frontier. She's got Frontier. Maybe Frontier's DNS is acting wonky. Give it a new DNS. Same problem. When I brought it home, I ran my D7.2 suite on it, did all the repairs that D7.2 does, scanned it, malware, no malware, or, you know, a couple of the little, you know, ask toolbar embedded into Chrome type, you know, that kind of stuff, which is really, you know, nothing, ran, you know, all the tools, rootkit client cleaner, nope, defrag the computer, nope. I mean, it was running slow, but not terribly slow.
Defragged it and everything. What?
Why not?
It's an SSD, too. No, just kidding.
No, it's just been one.
Two gigs of RAM, huh?
2 gigs of RAM. Okay. So I said, you know, I think we're just going to have to reload the computer. She goes, well, that's okay. It's got a whole bunch of games, and it came with a whole bunch of the ad, you know, the new stuff that just comes on computers, all that bloatware, and she was kind of getting tired of it.
Sure.
Huh. Did Tim say, did you, I missed it because I got a message. Did you say that you tried to boot up CD, too?
I did not.
Oh, that's a great problem. That's a great troubleshooter.
Mitch and I rolled the same dice.
I know.
We would have done that. Well, that's all right. Okay. So we know that you and Linux don't really get along.
No.
So no. I'm really on the hook here. I can't wait to hear. But does this have a happy ending?
It does.
Oh, okay. Great.
It much does. Better.
Sorry.
So I brought home the laptop and I said, you know, we're just going to reload it. Backed it up. I think I maybe have missed a folder. So she, of course, that's the one folder she needs. I'm like, so I'm gonna have to go research that on my computer. Anyways, reloaded it. It booted back into Windows 8. It needed some updates. I said, okay, do a big push out of updates. And this was about 10 o'clock at night, maybe 11 o'clock at night. I said, I'm going to bed. It's gonna take a while. So I get up at 2 because I have to push this out. This I'm taking this to her in the next morning.
Yeah.
I get up at 2 a.m. It's almost done. I'm like, great. About 2:30, it says, failed, rolling back changes.
Rolling
back changes. So back now it's
Windows updates.
Now it's 6:30 in the morning because it takes almost as long to roll back the updates as it did to actually install them.
Yes.
So now it's 6:30, 7 in the morning. I'm like, well, this isn't going being deployed today. Or I'm hoping it will be. Yeah. Come to find out, it wasn't, because then I had to do all these updates, then update to 8.1, then put all of her stuff back on. Anyways, it was deployed this morning.
The updates failed, but then they were successful?
They worked again, yeah. Okay. And I don't know, because when I would go within the desktop interface, I would run Windows updates, it would have said there wasn't any. Within the Metro interface, I ran updates, and it said there's 166 of them. So I ran the 166 in the Metro interface. They bonked and went away. Gotcha. Then I rerouted it, went back into the Windows interface, ran the updates. There were a lot of them were there, updated it. Everything were fine. So.
All right, cool.
So the basically how this ties into the initial just change of transmission was as techs, we get to the point where we say this doesn't work, this doesn't work, this doesn't work, wipe and reload. It had been a couple years. Her machine runs much faster now. So I did not hear from her today at all that her computer was having issues.
So it's fixed, probably. It's fixed. You don't have confirmation that it is fixed, but it's safe. It's probably safe to assume that because you
did
not hear from her.
Well, she did text me and ask me about how she could pay me. But did not say anything about it's still not working. So
well, maybe it's like just go away money. No. Well, you know what? Okay. So,
I doubt it.
All right. So something in Windows just got broken. And it was something that made it unique to that environment because when you brought to your joint, did you connect it wirelessly at your place?
Mm-hmm.
Same. Okay. Okay. So yeah, that's. That reminds me of a DVD player that we had here. We were very late getting into the optical disc, and when we finally got a DVD player, it was like a hand-me-down. It wasn't the best shape then. And then we got kids, and kids are just horrible with things. And the big movie here was Elmo and Grouchland, which if you got little kids, that's actually not too bad. I mean, it's actually tolerable compared to most of them. It actually has some decent parts. But that disc spun inside that little DVD player so many times that I'm not sure what happened, but that DVD player got to where it wouldn't play anything but that one disc.
That's odd.
Which actually wasn't a huge problem because that's pretty much what was on 24/7 in our home for 2.5 years, the Selma and Grouchland. But it was really bizarre, and this. The happy ending here, I think we just threw it away, but it got another one. But it was really bizarre. It would just play this one disc. I don't know what it was. If the DVD player just, I don't know, got stuck. But yeah, we couldn't watch anything. It would put that one disc in, and it was happy. It could do that, and so that was really strange. And then once he got to where he was walking, we lost the remote to it, and so we couldn't do anything with it anyway. So I don't know. It kind of reminded me of that. You know, it's funny. Electronics, they're crazy. You know, they get old. And they get they're like people. I mean, they get all cranky inside, and they get set in their ways. And little bumps and bruises. You know, I've had a couple. You know, just injuries along the way in life. And I'll tell you what, I've got aches and pains. There's an accumulating effect where it's like, if I had all these little injuries, well, I wouldn't have all these little problems. And you know, I guess everything's that way, whether it's you're living your life or it's just this little DVD player trying to play Elmo and Grouchland or Windows. How many times have we seen some problem? You research it, you get hits, but it's like, I don't have this fix. It's not even possible, but everything looks okay. And you go through it and you just reinstall. It's like, okay, I'm humming now and it's fine. And whatever weird little hiccup was inside of it, it just kind of,
I'm assuming you took it apart, right?
Away, so.
Did you try putting on live CD in?
In the DVD player.
Well, I just, you know, just thought maybe.
I didn't have my dice yet. I had not rolled that one. I think what I ended up doing was I drove that nail home with a sledgehammer. I built a media center PC. You know, I spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars and I built a media center PC and the DVD player went away. And, probably one of the best things in my life I've ever constructed with my own hands that actually was of real value to somebody. It was great. It worked great. I tweaked out the way I loved it. It was such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it was like, it's the greatest thing. You know, we got that thing humming. It was great. Loved that Media Center PC. So, but anyway, yeah, Elmo and Grouchland. And you know what? For the 2.5 years I watched that thing, I probably watched it twice a day for, oh my gosh, forever. And now I asked my boy about it. He's like, I don't remember that. I put the movie on. He's like, I don't remember any of this. It's like a dog. I knew every stinking word of the thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Very good.
Your kids are out of school? I mean, today's the last day of school for my kids here.
No, next week.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's getting late, man. You just make them go all summer. What's the difference?
I think. Well, we don't. Oregon's pretty short, so they get not as many vacations as you do. I mean, if it thinks about getting snowy here, they cancel school.
No. Oh, like, I guess that's probably true.
Like the possibility. I mean, you guys have to have full on snowpocalypse before they cancel school for you. You mentioned the word snow too loud, and they shut schools down.
Yeah. They cancel a good bit out here.
Yeah, but you guys had, you know, Snowzilla. Yeah. We had, you know, a dusting. We get a dusting, and they canceled school.
Mostly cold. It wasn't too bad snow-wise, but really, really, really cold this past winter.
See, over here, we had a really mild winter. There's no snow. It's a big concern for the summer going in. They're going to be like, well, guess the mountains are going to be all brown.
I used to like the heat. Now I can't handle the heat anymore. I hate the cold. Where do I go now when I retire? Oh, jeez.
Just stay in your house, Mitch.
I'd sit right there, Mitch. I wouldn't move from that chair. You look like, you know what? You look like you got a good little spot there, man. You got that nice backlight coming. You got, looks like your favorite shirt in the whole world on.
There's a TV. And there's an indoor pool. You're good to go.
No, I think you're set by the indoor pool. That's messed up. Got the fork truck parked out in the garage. You know, life don't get no better, Mitch.
Nope. Indoor pool with a fork truck. Boop, boop.
Hey, I get a screenshot of this right here, buddy, because this looks like the pinnacle.
It's all downhill from here, Mitch.
I think I mentioned last week about having these contractors. I got an estimate on landscaping in front of the house. $5,400 and some dollars. Yeah, I'm coughing.
He couldn't even say it.
I mean, it's not that much. I mean, it's a little bit of area. I said, forget that. I'll risk myself getting a heart attack and do it myself. It's crazy. That's different. I was to get like in front of the house. I had like bushes. I had them removed, and I had some mulch in there. So I didn't want to replace the mulch. Mainly replace the mulch and maybe put some little, real teeny, you know, low maintenance stuff in there.
Plastic, redo
this stuff in there. But I think I'm going to do it myself. I got somebody
$5,000.
Is your life insurance more? Is the payout more than the cost for the contractors?
What? What was that?
Well, you said you were going to do it and risk yourself a heart attack. So if your life insurance is more than it would cost for the contractors,
what life insurance?
See now, get the contractors.
I'm not even sure if we have it
anymore. You're just throwing time away.
I'm not sure if we have it anymore with my present employer.
Me neither.
You know what? The things with a house, you don't do it against. You don't. I don't think you figure it against the value of like your person, your health. Well, I think you figure it against the value of your light, your fire insurance. And if it doesn't work out, you just throw a match
or water insurance.
No. I think he's kind of burned through those.
Oh, that's right. He maxed out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think so. I think two waters. You got to go with the fire next. And make sure
fraud per year, please.
And we got hit by lightning.
Make sure you tell them you did it, because if don't tell them that fire is an act of God.
We got hit by lightning 15 years ago.
You
did it.
They'll never believe you.
Yeah, you'd have to be crazy. Who would say that?
That's right. Hey, and if they don't believe you, you don't have to worry about food, water, shelter.
Oh, man. Well, I'm sorry for digressing. Go back on tech. Who cares? Who cares about my driveway or my garden, landscaping, whatever.
All right. We'll stop picking on you, Mitch.
I kind of like Tuesday Mitch better than Friday Mitch.
And Saturday Mitch is just like,
No, I'm all right. I'm off tomorrow.
Well, me too.
No, you're not.
No, I am. Who am I kidding? Who am I kidding?
I'm a little bit off every day.
By the way, I'm watching a very good show, Big Love, from HBO. And it's based on, well, Martin, you know what it's based on. I'm going to convert to.
What is it called?
Big Love.
I have no idea.
Oh, you never heard of it? It was on, I guess it had like 6 seasons on HBO about polygamy.
I never watched it, but it's
pretty good.
It's the Latter-day Saints, right?
Yeah,
in Utah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And the guy in it, right, was the.
Bill Paxton.
What's his name? From Breaking Bad, right?
I don't think he was in it. He's not in it. He might be. I mean, I'm only on season two. Paxton, and it's pretty, and that's right up there, Martin.
No, wait,
it's right up your alley, Martin. Yeah.
Why is it up my alley?
Because that's where the Mormons are. They're all there.
I'm in Portland,
but it's still not that far, is it?
Closer than us.
Yeah, I guess. I think that's what I'm just thinking. I guess it is closer. I guess.
So I told my wife,
is it Walt Disney World just down the street from you, Mitch? No. Why? Well, it's over. It's closer. It's over there.
It is closer. It's in Florida. Anyway, my wife said I can convert to it, but she's going to go though. I have to find other wives somewhere else now. Nah, I'm just kidding.
So Salt Lake City is about 12 hours from me.
Mm. Yeah, it's almost the distance of Florida. Florida's 18.
All right. So in Big Love is like Bill Paxton and. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's all I know. I started watching Homeland.
Good. Very good. I mean,
I'm pretty hooked on it. So
you were in the first season?
Yeah.
That's really good. That was the best season, the first season so far.
I've heard good things about it, so I'm pleasantly surprised. The problem is that I end up watching too much of it.
Well, it's the whole point, right? I think it's only three seasons, so.
No, it's still going.
It is, but it's in hiatus. Right? The third season's over with. So it's been there. Oh. So it's not.
I better slow down then.
I think it's three seasons up here. Oh,
yeah, I can tell you, Aaron Paul was Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad. And he was a fellow named Scott Quitman, 14 episodes of Big Love, 2007 to 2011. So I don't know what seasons there are. But
okay.
Without ever having seen the show, I had known that, but I don't know anything more than that. So. But you enjoy it? You getting hot tips then? Is that what's going on? Is this an instructional video for you?
No, I'm joking.
You kind of made it out like that.
Compared to everything else.
That's a really easy way to get stuff done around the house. That's what he's doing. He's not interested in paying for contractors.
Compared to some of these other shows, series we've been watching, it's pretty tame, really. There's very little cussing, if any, in it. Well, there was very little.
Well, you know, I tell you what, one thing about the Mormons.
Be careful. You know,
going into it, I wouldn't expect much foul language.
Yeah, you're right. But there's some.
Look, one wife gets me to do some stuff around the house, but if I had multiple wives, there definitely would be more things done around the house.
I don't see how they can do it. I mean, it would kill. Even if I was a young man, it would kill me.
Well, you won't know. You give it a shot.
No, I'm just, I'm not into it. It's not for me. Remember, I'm on the Old Testament, remember?
What happened to the show anyway?
Which one?
The one we're on.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
The one people are listening to.
It started with my landscaping. It's my fault. It's my fault. Anyway, I do have a problem. I don't know if it's... I don't know if I got infected, but there's this little there's this thing in my.
That is the weirdest transition.
Oh my to get back.
I almost spit out what I was drinking.
I'm trying to get back on. Trying to get back on tech. What is this? I got this.
An infection. That is it. I know what you're talking. I have a feeling I know what you're talking about. I was going to bring that up.
And it's on all my PCs, oh my gosh, man. And I hover over top of it. It just doesn't say anything.
What is it?
No, I'm joking.
Gosh,
Windows 10. The Windows 10 notification. And the funny thing is, Martin got it, and he's on Linux. I don't understand that.
How do you get it on Chrome? I mean, Linux.
Yeah, how did you get it on Linux?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that.
Yeah, talk about it.
So what in the world is that?
Oh, my gosh.
What is that whole Windows 10 notification thing down there? I saw that popping up the other day. I actually got a client emailed me from their customer people saying, please don't do that. And what they did is they emailed him telling him not to upgrade to Windows 10, not reserve it. So,
you but then
he forwarded it on to me to let me know.
You can reserve it. You'll have the choice to put it on whenever you want to put it on or not.
So. But not for a while. So why would you reserve? Why do you reserve it now that's going to be free in months?
Well, that's you're reserving the free copy. That's what I'm saying. That's what you're doing now. You're reserving the free copy, which is going to be released July 29th.
They can only make so many.
Whatever. I'm not even. It says. It said the limited supply, like it's currency. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what though?
Limited supply of that.
If a whole bunch of people download it and the supply runs out, but more people want it, then they have to make more. Then the value goes down. So the more people who want Windows 10, the value will actually go down.
Come on,
man. Yeah, but you know what? A percentage of zero
is zero
free is still actually you know what? If too many people download it and they have to make more of a free product, they're going to end up dividing something into zero, and the whole it's going to it's just going to turn everything inside out.
Imagine if somebody's first time is listening to this show, saying, "What are these guys talking about?"
Right. So if you haven't seen it, it's on Windows 7 and Windows 8 boxes. There's this little new icon down in the tash tray. It looks like looks like the Windows logo, and it's just a icon. And what you're doing is you are reserving it. But then what happens is once you have it reserved, when it comes out, it will start to automatically upgrade your machine.
Oh no!
No, you're gonna have a choice.
No, please.
From what I understand, and I was gonna ask you about it. I think that Paul Thurrott, I'm pretty sure he said that. Listen to Wins Weekly. You can do a clean install. So I don't know how this is going to transpire. So I don't think it's going to automatically just start, upgrading your machine. Because I never do upgrade. I always do a clean install.
Right. Well, I will be in the show notes, but it looks like there is a thing from How to Geek about how to get rid of it.
You can get rid of it.
I love that site.
I was going to bring that up, actually, and you beat me to it, but I thought that was your infection.
Nah, just...
You're talking to him.
Being stupid. Of course, I don't have to act.
So, in the show notes, how to get rid of that. But I've seen it on all my machines that are running Windows, and I thought, what is this malarkey? Speaking of Windows boxes, so I ordered my monitor right above me, so I have two screens here and here. For my thing, and then I have a Windows 8 box right up there running my Intel Compute Stick, and I got to tell you, the Intel Compute Stick is pretty cool. It's really easy. Here's one of the issues I had with the Ventsmile computers, is that because the Ventsmile computers have a battery on them, sometimes they don't like to boot correctly, and so you'd have to unplug it, and then plug them back in, and then mess with the power. This is either on or off. Powered the same way, little micro USB, power, HDMI, plugged it right into this machine. And now I have a 28-inch monitor, TV/TV monitor, right above me. And so it's running Windows 8.1 with Bing. It's pretty cool. I ordered, it's mounted to the wall. It's pretty snazzy. So now I can get a nice glow from all the computer monitors in my
here. What are the specs in that again?
Pardon me?
What are the specs in that again?
Which one?
The
Compute Stick?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, it's an ARM processor. It's 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage space, 802.11 B and G, but it only works at the 2 gigahertz range. It doesn't work at the 5.
Mm. How's it doing streaming? Have you tried it?
Streaming video?
Yes.
Fine. Yeah. Sometimes I get full wireless. Sometimes I don't get full wireless. Mm. But I've had no problems with it. It's actually a smart TV, so I have Netflix and MLB Network and stuff on there.
Man, you got a chair I wouldn't get out of either.
Well, here's the thing: is I used to use my little Nexus 7 as my kind of video while I was at home and I wanted to watch something. It'd be right over here next to my on top of my laptop, and I'd have to look down, which is fine. Now I have this ginormous monitor, so I've been watching Homeland up there and working and spending not enough time
right now. Working.
The Compute Stick. Could you elaborate on what you meant? Because I didn't quite follow. The difference between it and the Ventsmile, you're having troubles with it booting. You said this thing's on. I don't understand what you meant. What's the difference there?
Sure. The Ventsmile has a computer in it. It has a battery in it. I apologize. And the button is a little recessed. And so what would happen every now and then is I would go to reboot or even shut down the Ventsmile computer, and it would just act weird. Like it would flash weird. There wasn't, even just turning it on, you'd have to hold the button in for a bit, and then the light would light up, and then sometimes it would light up and then just flash, which then synchronized, then your USB keyboard, all of the three lights would flash. And it would just act weird. Like it wouldn't boot correctly. So then you get to the point where you're holding on the button, all of a sudden the screen would come on. You're like, great. It says now preparing to shut down. Like, okay, that's weird. If you unplug the power, so now it's on battery, turn it on, it works fine, then plug the power back in. The Compute Stick is just powered on, that's it. There's no battery in it. So either it's on or off. And so I find that makes it a little more stable than having the battery.
The Compute Stick is, the manufacturer, is it Intel? The manufacturer is, okay. And so... I wouldn't be surprised if, everything in the BIOS and the hardware and the whatever, it's not, well, it's not char- the power, there's no charging circuitry as such, but you know, everything that gets the power from the wall to what that little job actually uses, all the firmware build, everything that gets that thing working for the Windows, I'm guessing the Intel probably has something that's slightly more sophisticated. It's just a guess, but you know, maybe something a little more sophisticated than VinSmile. You know, that's I'm just throwing it out there. And you know what, the VinSmile, I can see where that's a first gen. Is that a first gen product?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So you're gonna have little problems like that, little hiccups. I mean, how many times have we had some electronic device that just acted weird until you kind of unplugged it, pressed a button down, held it for a few seconds, kind of like, you know, drain the caps and reset it. So, but you know what? Of course, if it's mounted permanently like you have with the compute stick, an internal battery isn't a crucial component.
Right.
Right. It's not a portable device. But I can see where, you know, that would be an issue, and that's no good if you have it permanently. If you have it permanently mounted on the back of that monitor, I'm like, you have that monitor. You have to stand up. It's way up here. If you had a thing permanently mounted behind there, if you got to be messing around with it, that's no good. Right. That would get really irritating really fast. Okay, I understand. Thank you.
So one of the things I thought, you know, it comes with a little USB extender, or sorry, an HDMI extender. So it's just kind of hanging down there because I plugged it in thinking the TV was going to be closer to the wall, but it's not. So the CompuStick is actually a lot bigger than I expected it to be. I think when I was thinking more kind of USB thumb drive size, and I'm actually I'm shutting down that machine. I'll pull it out, but it's actually almost the size of
Chromecast.
Like a business card. It's actually got some good size to it, but
how about weight?
It's really light.
Okay, so yeah. And see, that's the thing. You would think that anything that just plugs into a port, you know, on a television, the port has to support the weight.
Right.
It has to support the device, right? So you wouldn't expect some big bulky thing, and you would be surprised if it was the size of a business card. But if it doesn't weigh anything, what's the big deal?
Right. I'm trying to think of some things that it would be close to, and I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But it's you know, plugged it in, turned it on, booted right up to it, did the normal Windows setup, and I've had no issues with it. So I'm actually really impressed with it.
I'm seeing different prices. What is the going price?
Mine was given to me, so I don't know.
Yeah, you don't care.
Sorry.
That's the best deal of the day, man. I was like, I'm really proud of you getting that for testing, of course.
Well, yes.
And that, of course, that wouldn't influence review in any way.
Nope.
All right.
See, not at all. $149.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, $149 plus free shipping. So, I mean, so it's a little more expensive than the VinSmile computers. You do lose a USB because this only has one, and it doesn't connect to 5G. But you know, you're talking $25 more.
The stuff excites me. It's so different and new and strange and all the possibilities, and it's so cheap and powerful. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So that's my kind of one of my new additions is having that monitor up there. So now I actually have a Windows 8 machine running for testing, for watching videos on. For the other day, I was cyber IT, was doing some Linux Plus training, and I had it on, and I was just listening to it in the background while I was working away. So
cool.
Yeah. Very, very excited for it.
And you're using to stream video.
I can stream video, yeah.
Is that because you said you were watching? Is that what you're doing? You use it to stream, or what are you doing with it?
Whatever I want. Essentially, Well, no. What I mean by that, it's going to be. I've got the dashboard for GFI up there, so that's just running.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, that's right. That's what you said you were going to do with it. That's so awesome.
I kind of have a monitor. I always have something. I can always look up and see if there's any problems with GFI. Every now and then I need to do some training or get together with somebody and they say, okay, let's go to my PC or go to assist, and that doesn't work in Linux. So I have to drop out to my VM and do some stuff. This way I can just do it right up there. Plug in my headphones or plug in an external, speakers. And because most of the time I'm talking on the phone to those anyways, I'm not using my mic. So, I've streamed videos. I've streamed, watched a baseball game or whatever.
So cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So cool.
We had, do you guys get too much email?
Yeah, I get quite a
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, who doesn't? I mean,
I just, you know. Crazy. Yeah, if you get too much email, well, maybe, you know, what if you were to charge people to email you?
Well, that's right. You're kind of blowing my mind here.
All right, here it is. Write.io. So it's WRTE.io. This was handed to me by one of my clients, and I thought it was both it was a little strange, but awesome at the same time. What it is a person sends you, you sign up for this program, it's in beta, and maybe it's Tim, or maybe it's Geeksters at WRTE.io, okay? And it's spam. Hey, Geeksters, we want you to buy this timeshare. Now what happens is they get a reply back to the email with an invoice. So we set up a payment. We say, everybody who emails Geeksters has to pay us a dollar. So they get an invoice, and they can either use a credit card or Bitcoin. They pay the dollar.
So awesome.
Once the money goes through, then the email then gets delivered.
That's fantastic.
And all of the money goes to a charity called WATSI, WATSI. So you don't get to see any of that. But
okay. Well, I don't like this anymore.
But WATSI funds healthcare. Sorry.
It's a charity. I didn't realize that part, that it was actually it was a charity. I thought, well, anyway, that's pretty cool.
And what they do is they fund healthcare for people around the world. So I don't know, you know, how it works, but Wall Street Journal, you know, is a big provider of them. So that's, you know, you can go to WATSI, WATSI.org, and take a look at that. So people, you don't get to keep the money. Geeksters doesn't make money on this, but what it does is it allows us to be able to
we're not using it.
No, but we're not using it yet. But
Well, we know with the flood of emails that we're getting, we're gonna start doing something. I mean, every day I come in, it looks like Miracle on 34th Street at the end, where they're dumping mail over the judge's bench. I'm like, I wish somebody would pay a dollar for each of these.
Well, they may. So write.io, WRTE.io. I don't know. It's here's an interesting thing is the mail doesn't get delivered until the mail comes in, or until the money is paid. So you create one of these, and this is what you give out at conferences. This is what you give out for your spam, you know, email. That way, then when somebody pay, that way you if you give your email to these at conferences. So maybe I create obandocomputing.com. Whatever. I go to a conference, say OSCON, because they scan all your badges at OSCON. They scan my badges. Now, all of a sudden, oh, I love your product. That is the best thing. I have no idea what it does, but yes, why don't you call me on Tuesday? We'll discuss this. I'm going to implement this for my clients. They go to send me an email, and that's right. They go to send me an email.
That's literally all we could play before we had to pay royalties.
And then, yeah. Yeah. If they're really serious about wanting to get a hold of me and getting my business, then maybe they'll pay a dollar.
You know, I really like this thing. I don't see where it's not one of those products that everybody, you know, everybody has email. Does everybody need this? No, of course not. I mean, I'm just trying to picture exactly what it is. And I'm almost thinking that the people that would really, I mean, the target audience, the market for this, I don't know if a dollar is enough, but it's
being that it goes to a charitable, you know, a charitable place.
Well, I'm just thinking that anybody who would say, I'll gladly accept your email once you pay me for the privilege of just sending it to me. It's not even I'm going to read or even look at. It's just the privilege of sending me your email. I'm thinking that they would never ask just a buck. But you know what? I got to thinking just now that if any of the money, it's probably good that it all goes to charity, and I hope it stays that way. But you know what? If the money was, let's say a portion, let's say it was like $20 to send this email, a buck of it goes to charity, and then $19 of it goes to, the person who set this up, the account user. It sounds like an amazing way to launder money, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but right now it's not.
Yeah, but. I'm just saying, it sounds like an amazing way to launder some money. Yes. Not that I'm suggesting that it should be used that way.
But it's not. It's just for clarification. All the money goes to charity.
Right now.
Right now. In the future, maybe it doesn't.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody would take this and could take this idea and abuse it. I was trying to figure out what was wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with it as it stands. But this, I could see this being the idea of this, the concept being abused. It's a shame. We live in a terrible world.
I'm thinking about getting one for my next conference, though. And then putting it on, and putting on my badge.
I'll tell you what, it really is. It is one of those things that people would certainly remember. Remember the cheap blankety flank that gave him that.
What a chiseler. Or just flip your badge over, depending on if you want a, you know, oh, this is my real email address, or this is my fake email address. I don't know.
I love it. It's great. You know what? Actually, that is, you have two business cards, and the people you don't want to do business with, you give them the card where they have to jump through the hoops.
Right.
And you know what? Hey, maybe if they pay their way in, well, maybe then we'll do some business.
Yeah. Like pay to play.
It's. What do you think, Mitch? What do you get out of this? Because I don't know. My wheels are still kind of turning about it. Mitch,
what, charge for emails?
What's your take on this?
I'm so confused.
Are you?
Yes.
All right. It's all right.
It ain't going to work.
Well, there you go.
I mean, if it was going to work, you should have done it like 5 years ago, and that way I would have been a millionaire by now.
Well, no, but see, then you just don't get email.
Yeah, that's true.
So it depends on how bad somebody really wants to talk to Mitch. Am I willing to spend a dollar to talk to Mitch? Now, it doesn't say anything about replies. So what if you create a thread and then you reply back to that thread? Are you charged a dollar every time you reply?
I'll tell you what. I'd pay $1.99 a minute for the first half hour and 99 cents a minute after that to talk to Mitch.
Yeah.
Hey, all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 1010-321.
Is that what it is?
They had so many of those.
You should have Dora edit in the Podnuts number there.
1010-321.
It's on. Just search my name. My landline's on there on Google.
Yeah, 1010-321. Big savings without switching.
You got it. We were in a hangout some years ago, a public hangout, and a guy he called me up in 2 minutes, and he hacked David's password in like 3 minutes. His Google password. But anyway, I digress. It's something else.
That was spooky.
That's whatever you're talking about, Martin. It's foolishness. I don't buy it. I'm sorry.
It only costs you a dollar, Mitch. That's all you have to buy. All right.
Anyway, it's an interesting idea. We may never hear of it again, but I don't know.
We have to pay to the post office when we mail letters, so maybe it's not that far off.
Yeah. Listening to another just podcast and came across, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, Easy to Boot, EASY2BOOT.com. It's there's quite a lot of them out there, but this is a multi-boot solution. So just wanted to throw it out there. It looks like it does UEFI, MBR, Windows Live, or Windows installs, ERD. I mean, FreeDOS, Conboot, XP, SATA, Memtest, OpenELEC, FreeBSD. It's got a list of just what it can and can't do. But I thought I would throw this out there. If somebody's looking for an easy way to create a boot USB drive that you can just carry around with you and have a whole bunch of different things on it.
Oh, I get it now.
So I thought I'd throw it out there.
That's good.
There's lots of YouTube videos.
Yeah, this is like a, like you said, there's a lot of these. I mean, my old standard for years was Ultimate Boot CD. Not Ultimate Boot CD for Windows, which is another tool that I did use many times, but just Ultimate Boot CD.
No, but this would, I think this will allow you to create your own stuff.
Right, there's a ton of them out there. Just like
it could be customized.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's.
Yeah, I had. I can't remember some of the names because I've used them before, and you put as many as you could get on there. Oh, I can't remember what I used. They're good tools, though.
Yeah, so I thought I'd throw it out there. All right, last show, I had talked about the problems that I was having with the computers at one of my clients where somebody had gone into them, and that's it. Sorry, I'm going to digress here. Uncle on the chat word said Yumi, Y-U-M-I or Yummy. That's one. Yep. So I had talked about three computers that were compromised. The admin accounts were all changed. I'd asked you guys, hey, it's not working with the higher ends, but the NT offline cracker. It said kernel mode, and that's when Tim, well, that, what I brought up was a Windows 7, how to crack a Windows 7 password, and it had a whole bunch of instructions, and you copy some stuff over, and Tim mentioned Conboot. Mm-hmm. But when doing some research on this, because I wanted to get everything tested, because I was going back down there to look at it, Conboot doesn't allow you to change the password. All it does is it allow you to bypass the admin user to get into the admin account, so then you can create a new account and give that one admin rights, log out, log back in as the new account, and now you can make changes. So I wasn't sure if that's really what I wanted to do or if that was going to work right. So I end up finding PC Unlocker, and it's at PCUnlocker.com. This is a paid product, and I kind of hummed and hawed about it, and I ended up paying for this product. What this product does is that you could create a boot CD. It runs Windows 8.1, 8, 7 Vista, 2012, 2008. So it works on servers. It works on all the different flavors of Windows. You create a boot CD, boot from it, has an interface, and you get a choice, which account do you want to do, and then reset password. You get an option to reset the passwords. Done. That's it. It's pretty simple, except that it didn't work.
No, it says right here, 100% success rate.
And I may be asking for my money back.
Because it's now officially like 99.9%.
Right. So right. I get to where these machines are, and I boot the first one to this through this, and it comes up, and then it says it can't find the SAM file. Right. So you need the SAM file to modify the passwords. Right. It creates the C drive, at least for me. I need to go back and look, but on all these other screenshots, if you look at the screenshots, it actually has you point to the SAM file of /windows/system32/config/slam. SAM. That's where this in these boxes that I had that the these I was for my clients, they're specially designed boxes running Windows embedded 32-bit. When I booted from it, it kept trying to find the X drive. The X drive was the primary drive, and so I would couldn't get to the C drive. I would go to the SAM file. I would see it. Click on the SAM file. Can't read it. And so I thought, great. Now I have a product that I paid for that doesn't work, and I'm back to where I was. So I go flipping through my CDs, and what I ended up doing was bringing my, because last time I had used the NT offline, I used it on a thumb drive, and it gave me a kernel error. Okay, so this time I brought it, and I put it in a USB CD-ROM tray, booted up to it. It did everything it needed to do. It could not find the SAM file as well. It just had issues. All right, now I'm 0 for 2 now. Hmm. So I go flipping through my stuff, and I see I have just an old copy. I don't even know why it's in there. I haven't used it in so long of Ultimate Boot CD. So, well, let's see what's on here. Throw it in my drive, boot up to it, start doing some stuff. There's Conboot, an old version, version 1 of Conboot.
Right, and that's the free version that works great. It would work on everything. Up to and through Windows 7, 32-bit, it's the paid version. If you're running a 64-bit OS, you would need the paid version. It's $15 or something. But, yeah, that's how I got turned on to it. I used it for free forever until the 64-bit systems became so common. I paid the money for it. It's great.
So I booted through that, and I thought, let's let it go. And you boot it up, and it goes, and it does this little – I mean, all it is you hit a button – on the keyboard, it's an ASCII text. Like, it's printing out some stuff, and then it reboots the machine. There's nothing to do. It's just that's what it does.
And you're on Windows.
So it reboots
It doesn't reboot the machine. It continues booting.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Right? Yeah, because it starts the disk, it does that, and then it continues booting into Windows, but it's already...
It bypasses the password, right?
Okay, so... Now, but see, the problem is I have both an administrator, the administrator account, and the admin account, which the admin account is created, and the administrator account was just unhidden. I clicked on the admin account. Let me write in. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
These were 64-bit?
32-bit.
Oh. When they were 32, then you're fine. Yeah.
Well, but
I think I asked you.
You did, and I had never used it before. So I didn't expect to find it on the Ultimate Boot CD.
Wait, you never used what?
No, I never used Conboot before.
But I asked you if it was a 64-bit system, I think.
Oh, and I didn't know.
Well, oh, there you go. Okay, that's the way I remember it. Okay, all right. So then I won't get upset.
So I'm in. I create myself an account. I log out. create myself back, log in as my account, change the passwords, log out, log back in as the admin, delete my account, delete files, get rid of it, thrash it, I don't care, delete all the other accounts, and then start to clean it up. And this thing was full. One machine was full of, and I'm not saying anything bad, I don't know any other way of explaining it, but Chinese malware and spyware. Mm. Because, and I say that...
you don't know that it was Chinese.
The text, you're right. It could have been like,
Thailand, okay. It's been Japanese,
I'm pretty,
a lot of different dialects. You can't tell me that you knew it was Chinese.
All right.
Just say that you got a problem, a little problem. I'm not calling you anything, maybe... Anyway, let's not paint with too big a brush here, all right? He's laughing. I'm just fooling around.
All right. I've eaten in enough Chinese restaurants, and I've actually talked...
Oh, my gosh. Now, okay. I'm slowly backing away from this podcast.
No, actually, there's a place that we eat down the way, and they write in a manager. So
you took the computer in there, and you asked them what it said.
I was actually...
That's really rude. That's...
So, okay, all the text, the file icons, all the wording was all in a non-English, more than likely Chinese dialect, and it took a while because a lot of it was one of those bring it up and I'm guessing which one is yes or no.
I love that. That's so much fun. Yeah.
I guessed correctly on some of them and some of them I did not. And actually, I think I made it a little bit worse for a moment because I'm like, oh, that's a new program that just started.
Sweet. That's like taking a test that you didn't study for at all.
Right.
You know, just filling in blanks like, wow, that seems about right.
That seems about right. I was able to actually clean it up. I ran JRT and ADW Cleaner, Revo Uninstaller, because with Revo...
Love Revo!
I was able to just go in, click it, and remove it. It didn't do a great job. It did a lot of it, but at least Revo... At least I could get Revo to start the uninstall process that I could manage in English.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and it worked out well. With that and JRT and ADW Cleaner, we didn't have to reformat the machine like the other. We have three of them. One of them we had to reformat. It didn't work out well. It took hours and hours and hours to reformat this computer. This one,
because it was a custom build.
Because it was a custom build, and you got to load drivers, and then you have to re-import all the cameras and the FOB system, and then the backup file didn't work, and you got to do all that, and you got to set up all the cameras again. It's just, it's actually a huge mess. And while I'm watching this guy reboot it and reload it, he's just clicking. And I understand what clients do when they say, could you fix this? And I go, and I fix it. And they go, I'm like, did you get it? And they look at me like, I have no idea what you did. So the guy is re-importing the cameras and setting up the FOB system, and he's doing all this stuff. And he's like, okay, I'm done. That's what you need to do when you reload the other machines, he says.
Yeah.
And no, I'm going to probably get it to a point and then call you. By using Conboot, Revo Uninstaller, and then the suite of tools inside of my D7.2 account, I was able to clean it up, not a problem, back up and running in under an hour.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Very, very nice. Beautiful. Beautiful.
So then
What caused this initially?
It had external access, and somebody jumped in and changed the passwords, set it up to scan external IP addresses for open 3389 ports.
Wow. Okay, that'll do it.
So, because I found the log files and what it was doing. So, I went to the next machine, which I thought was also infected. It actually just was the passwords were changed. And so I was able to do the same thing, conboot, get in there, change the passwords. They were up and running clean, no problem. So I had both machines cleaned and patched in less time than it took to rebuild one of them. And there was actually some driving in between the machines, too.
Beautiful, beautiful. And once again, and I wish you'd given that thing a little bit more, I don't know, legitimate sounding name. It's Conboot. I guess it's like you're conning Windows. That's what it makes you think. It's spelled K-O-N. I don't know if that's what he was after, or it's just named it after his dog, or I mean, who knows? But it's just such a great tool. If it had a different name and it didn't have that cheesy, ASCII based, it's like ASCII art that loads, right? Mm-hmm. Just really silly ASCII art, and it's like it looks really cheesy. It's amazing how well the thing works. The Try-Free Resolve, I mean, there's a free version you can download. Ultimate Boot CD.
I couldn't find the free version, but yeah, Ultimate Boot CD under Others is where you see Conboot.
Yeah, and it's it really is a great product. once again, I don't know. I don't feel a legal obligation. I feel to say this. I just feel I'm just convicted to say it that, you know, look, these are lockpicking tools in the hands of locksmiths. You know, a lot of people could take these and do all kinds of, you know, harm and whatnot with them. And that's not what we're all about. You know, we're recommending tools to good people to help good people fix their machines. You know, these could very, very easily be turned, you know, against people, and that's not what we're all about here. So a lot of these tools get a bad rep, and I understand why, but that's not what's going on here. You know, this is it's just such a fantastic tool to knock down a couple gates just to get through and get the thing to where you can start working on it. And good for you, Martin. Thanks. Glad that you discovered that. And you know what? Good for me, because I recommended it. And I haven't heard a thank you yet, but I know, Tim. It's implied. No,
I'm thinking about sending back, because I have a 100% success rate, free 30, you got 30-day trial on the PC Unlocker.
Not send it back.
Well, because PC Unlocker is just a GUI interface for everything you can do with the NT Offline bootloader.
Oh, really?
Because it has to find the SAM file. Well, the other one has to find the SAM file. And I thought the NT Offline bootloader wasn't working because it wasn't working. Well, it wasn't working because it couldn't find the SAM file. Well, the PC Unlocker couldn't find the SAM file, and it didn't work as well. But
you don't need anything sophisticated to get the SAM file. I mean, it's right in the file system.
But I have a feeling because it was embedded. It was an embedded OS that it could have had issues with.
I understand why it didn't work there. But that's just what I'm saying, that this, you know, this thing that it's looking for, that was a unique situation, but it's in a normal situation, these files, these aren't, they're not obfuscated. They're not hidden. They're not buried away. They're not a treasure chest. They're just in the file system, bam, right there. This doesn't, a GUI interface is worth $30 to some people.
Sure, but I can already do it with a different one. And so I don't need two keys that open the same door. What I need is another key that opens up key that opens up the same door. You know, does that make sense? And so what I'm going to do is send my money back to PC Unlocker, and then go get Conboot. Because, Conboot essentially solves the same problem. 31 different ways to do the same thing. It's a different way of getting to it. And that's what I want. I don't want to be able to, I don't need to walk down the same path. I just need to get to the same destination. And if I can take different ways.
It's not quite the same, is it? Because it's completely automated. You stick the disk in, you boot the disk.
Right, but the end task is different. I don't need to find the SAM file. I don't need to do anything. I need to bypass it so I can get in and create it. Yeah, once you're in, you have to create yourself an account. But either way,
I'm sorry, I should have interrupted. But usually you're trying to get into a machine that's all messed up anyway, and you want a second account that you can work out of.
Right. So I think I'm going to send my money back. And then go ahead and just pay the $15 for the Conboot, because it supports 32/64 with Windows 8. I mean, for $15, less than a cup of coffee a day, unless it's terrible coffee.
Yeah, I'm going to try and say this in a way that I don't misrepresent myself. I like free software. I like free stuff, and so I really don't pay for a lot of software, because I have found. I found like all the tools that I need that work. Now, there have been so many times that I've used something free for long enough that I think, you know what, this person has really earned my money. And so, I'll pay for the full version, whether I need all the features or not, just because, at some point I start feeling kind of guilty, but it's like, you got to support the developer, and especially the little guys. I don't pay for a lot of software, but I tell you what, that Conboot's one of them. It's like $50. What is that? That situation with that computer, you would have been like, man, I'd give $100 just to make this thing go away in an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, you start thinking that way, and it's like when you can put a price on it, and this isn't a tool. I don't know. I'm not selling the product. I don't know why I'm going on. It's just that it's not something that you're going to use for 6 months, and you're going to have to upgrade the next version, and 6 months later, I have to upgrade the next. It's like, She's used it for years. So $50. It's amazing that.
I've had issues with it.
Okay, what happened? What happened there, Mitch?
Didn't work. Just didn't work. I mean, it's been a long time ago. I mean, it like the newer versions wouldn't work. I can't, you know, just couldn't get in the machines. But the old versions, you know, like when it was XP, I could get into those machines. But it's been so long, I can't remember the exact reason why.
This was Conboot?
Yeah. But I mean,
it would boot through. You get to the welcome screen, and you would press enter at the login, and it wouldn't let you in.
Or it would just reboot the machine. I can't remember exactly.
Okay.
And then I had luck. Yeah, you know, it's OPH crag. I had luck with that sometimes.
Yeah.
But
now that's a project. That's two shows worth of talking. Those are the two ends of the spectrum where, you know, you stick in Conboot and you just boot straight.
I mean, how many times do you get a PC to work?
I mean, that's, oh my gosh. I mean, that's, you know, you could spend days watching that thing.
Haven't you guys got PCs to work on that were password protected and they don't give you the password?
Well, that's why I used the anti-offline cracker.
Yeah, that's worked for me.
I just zeroed out.
Yeah.
So I'll probably buy it. There, now, Conboot has a $15 one for personal and then a $75 commercial. I need to read the fine print because if it says that I need, as a business, I probably have to buy the $75 one, which is fine. Support this stuff. So, and yes, right from that webpage there, you can download the free one. One of the things that Uncle Al in the chat had come back with is information about the SAM. It says the SAM is a database file in Windows XP Vista 7 that stores the user's passwords. SAM uses cryptographic measures to prevent forbidden users to gain access to the system. So there you have it. Had another issue. Yesterday was one of those days where nothing came in until 3:30, and then it all just came in. Got a picture from a client that was just a picture saying that, whoops, something happened when they go to run Windows. And this is a resident computer, so it's at just a workspace. And so I go to run it, and it doesn't run right. I try to open a command file, and this is Office 2013 on a Windows 7 64-bit. I run WinWord WinWord.exe /safe. Open in safe mode, works fine. Okay. Actually, no, let me take that back. It doesn't work fine. Right-click on the go into the folder, deep into the folder, and then right-click on the winword.exe and run as administrator, boots up just fine. So I change it to always run as administrator, go to run it, it doesn't load. It actually doesn't go anywhere. It just starts flashing. Mm. So, okay, let's do now in Office 2013, if you go into the add remove programs, there's a change button. And inside of there, you can run repairs. One is the local repair, and one's kind of an online repair. Ran the short, quick local repair, no luck. Went to go run the online repair, but I remembered when you run the online repair, it actually will wipe out a lot of information, including the key.
Oh,
so you have to have the key, right? So I emailed the company and I said, you know, could you find me the key for this? Because I think these were bought with Office on them, so there's a key, it's probably an envelope. I remember writing, you know, the resident computer number on it and handing it off to management. Well, management has changed hands. Within the company itself. They can't find it. She comes back and she says, this is the only key I have. I'm like, all right. So now I'm on a mission to find Office 2013 keys within the computer. The normal one, there's a couple of them. BellArc doesn't work on Office 2013. Magic Key Finder doesn't work on Office 2013. Other ones, I've never been able to pull keys from Office 2013 until this morning. There is a couple scripts that can run, and I'll put a link in the show notes because it's kind of a long scripts. But there's scripts that you can run that will give you the last four digits, the last five digits of the key. Well, at least from that, you can say, I have a whole bunch of keys. I don't know which one is correct for this one. There you go.
There you go.
So at least you can whittle it down if you have the keys. Okay, but they don't have the keys, so now I'm still stuck. To the rescue, in your registry, if you go to HKey local machine /software, okay. Do you have Office 2000? Are you going?
Wait, I got to load it first.
Oh. All right. If anybody who has Office 2013 wants to follow along.
On the page you made, precious. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's all right. HKey local machine software, Microsoft Office 15.0, click to run. And then property bag, yes, it's called property bag, there is a string in there called home business retail. That key, the inside of there lists the full key.
I'll be darned. It's that easy.
That easy. There's not an application out there that just doesn't pull that for you, I don't know.
Hmm. That's interesting.
So I thought, great, now that I have the key, I will go to reload this. Well, remember, I'm doing this remotely to a computer that is quite a ways away, and I'm not able to be on site. I go to work on it this morning, and windows keep popping open. I'm like, oh, man, somebody's on the machine. So I go to work on it a little bit later, so windows keep popping open, somebody's on the machine, and then the machine shuts down. So right in the middle of the – right when it says, office is being repaired, please do not turn off your computer. So I'm hoping that it's not like really, really done now, because I kind of assumed that they already put a out of office or out of, you know, order note on the computer so that people weren't messing with it, but I have a feeling they didn't. So somebody was actually doing it, yeah. So I got a hold of the owner, the manager, and said, hey, I think somebody's messing with the computer. I tried to fix it. I'll do it tonight. So
And it shut down. It didn't reboot.
Oh no, it shut down. Well, it doesn't matter because it was said don't mess with it.
Oh, but I mean, when you're working remotely, a reboot's far different than shutdown.
Right.
At least maybe you could restart the process or something.
I've been out and about today, so I haven't had a chance to do it. So, all right, yeah. I mean, I thought I would pass that along to look for HK Local Machine Software, Microsoft, and these will be in the show notes, and you can find the key right from there. So I actually was, I was giddy. I thought, oh my gosh, I actually can see the full key now. So now I'll run it, put the key back in, let it go.
That's crazy.
All right, that thing I posted, it's supposed to work for 2013, Office 2013, so who knows.
Lays soft.
Yeah.
I don't know, I can run it. I'll well, it says Professional Plus. All right, I will try it and get back to you, because I have an Office 2013 installation on my VM. That's my
one thing about the Geeksters, 100% success rate.
99.9.
Oh, are we down to that now?
Yeah. Well, we haven't been very consistent on our days.
Yeah, but we always show up. We're not, you know what? Hey, we've never come in drunk. I've never come in drunk.
Well, there was that one day.
Not Tim.
No, not Tim. Not anymore. I got
my not this right Tim. Here. Maybe the real Tim.
Maybe.
Yeah. Not this Tim.
That's what's been happening with me.
That's a lot, man.
And
I love it when you say you had a slow week and not much talk about, and you're throwing out SAM files and tiny computers and people calling Thursdays. Nothing is slow until it just like a barrage of stuff comes in. Slow week for me.
You know.
You just stay at the door with your ball bat, that softball bat, and they bring them in. You're just knocking homers, just popping, bring them in.
That's my daughter. Speaking of softball, solid double yesterday. Could have been a triple. I was telling her to go, and she didn't hear me. So,
you know what? Kids never listen.
Grounder right past second, and then the outfield had it. But there was a, you know, in softball, there's the, so in baseball, everything is grass except for the pitching mound and the plates. In softball, the whole infield is dirt.
Correct.
So grounder hard, real fast rolling on the ground, hit the seam between grass and dirt, and boop, right over the outfielder's head.
Oh,
she ducked. But, you know, and so I was telling her to go third, but my daughter really wanted to hit this ball, and just a straight up, right, perfect pitch, and she just cracked it. So.
She saw it go, and she took it downtown. Nice.
Took it to school.
Well, we'll see what my daughter's made of. We took her to get her eyes checked last week, and they said, well, she needs glasses. I said, is that right? Yeah. All right. So he said if she was driving, she wouldn't be legal to drive without glasses. I said, you're kidding me. How she's been catching anything in the outfield, I have no idea. So we'll get them glasses on her face. Maybe she'll start hitting the ball, too. I don't know.
Cool. Well, maybe. Well, she's been good, doing good, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe she needs glasses then.
That, you know what? She's great. That team's great.
Yeah.
Love it. You know what? Just anything your kids are doing, man, go watch it because it's awesome. Whatever it is. Win, lose, or draw. It's great. It is. I mean, anything your kids are involved in, man, you just go and, you know, if you're not participating somehow, at least go and spectate. It's I have found myself enjoying things that I never imagined, that I never cared for before, But just, you know, when your own kids are involved, it's different.
That's true. I was laughing because Uncle Al put Geeksters. Now, we hardly ever start the show drunk.
We hardly ever start the show drunk. That's pretty good.
I think he's getting mixed up. Tagline. He's getting mixed up with Unbootables.
Unbootables. That show hardly ever started.
No, we had a lot of them up there.
No, there's a lot of them, but sometimes.
Yeah, you were. I saw you. You mentioned in the Voxer thing today.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it took a while. It was like an old Model T. You know, it's hard to start. You crank it for a while, it'd adjust the choke, and it'd choke the host. And, you know, she'd get to sputtering and a couple hours late, but she would get going eventually. Just about the time it was running nice and smooth, the show was over.
Probably should start it back up again.
Good times.
Did Martin freeze? He did. I didn't know
I thought he was just like, he was contemplating.
Yeah, I thought. Did Martin freeze, or is he just thinking?
I thought he became pensive. I thought it was very unusual he was letting us go on like this.
You need to go on Linux, really.
Wow. I hit the wrong button.
Oh, it was you. It was user error.
Bitch got through five of the seven words you can't use. So.
I'm sorry. I do have to get going, though.
All right.
So, if people want to give us a call and or send us a voicemail, what's the best way they can do that?
The best way to do that is to go over to or email us at geeksters@podnuts.com and send us a voicemail. We haven't had any while. It's 707-6-PODNUT, 707-676-3688. Come on, Tim, call. Come on, call.
Oh, come on, call.
Now.
Tim, if people want to... have you do something?
Man, I'm Tim Bauermeister from the G Plus. That's where you find me.
Boom. Done. Yeah. That's it. Sweet and simple.
If you want to fight, meet me at Tim Bauermeister G Plus in the next 10 minutes.
It's on.
In the next 10 minutes.
That's only for the live listeners. So all two of you, if you want to fight Tim.
That's it. If you're looking for a fight,
looking for a verbal lashing through the G Plus Hangout. If you want to find me, I'm Martin Obando. I'm Martin at ObandoComputing.com. I'm Obando Computing in the IRC chat, and I'm M Obando in Google+. Hey, guys, thanks again for coming and hanging out. It's Friday. Go enjoy. I'm going to get out. I got to get some errands done, take some kids places. No rest for the wicked. All right, so we'll talk to you guys next week. Be safe, and don't forget to be gruntled. All right, bye, guys.